Thanks for joining us for another Heartland Filmmaker interview. Joining us today is Chris Miller, director of the Truly Moving Picture Award-winning Puss in Boots. Speaking with him is Tim Irwin, Heartland's Truly Moving Picture Award Program Director.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Tim.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Doing well, thanks. We really appreciate you joining us today, taking some time out of your schedule. Well, I just had a few questions for you, and to begin with, could you maybe give our audience just a brief overview of the film and how you came to be involved as its director?
Well, I came to be involved. It was funny. Not by chance, but I worked on all the Shrek films. So on Shrek 1, I was a story artist, and Shrek 2, I was the head of the story department, and I was fortunate enough to get to direct Shrek 3rd, and always loved Puss in Boots. Always just sort of gravitated towards that character. Just always thought he was the most interesting, funniest, seemed to have all this history, and I just always wanted to know what his story was. So always wanted to make his movie, and when DreamWorks had been developing the film for a while, I was fortunate enough I was approached by Jeffrey Katzenberg and, you know, asked if I'd be interested, and I jumped at the chance, and I'm glad I did. You know, I'm glad it all came around. It's been a great experience.
Great. So, go ahead.
The overview of the movie, it's an origin story for Puss. So, and it takes place before he met Shrek or anyone from that universe. You know, and it's a fairy tale world, but it's a different take than the Shrek take on fairy tales. And it's a more southern Spanish style with the fairy tale world as the backdrop. And the picture tells the story of how Puss, you know, earned his boots and earned and cemented his legend as this this incredible, heroic, sort of vigilante character. You know, someone who will ensure justice for those who can't, you know, ensure it for themselves. And so it's epic and larger than life, but at its core, and it's a comedy.
By the way,
I mean, it's funny. That was our first task. But at its core, it's really a brotherhood story between the two main characters, Puss in Boots and his orphaned brother. They both grew up in an orphanage, Humpty Dumpty. It's just a story of their kinship and a terrible betrayal that took place between the two of them that tore their relationship apart. And the movie is about redeeming that fallen friendship, you know. Along the way, there's stories of revenge, and but ultimately redemption, you know. And the film's message is that, you know, it's never too late to do the right thing, you know. And that's what makes the film special for me, is that message. You know, you can have a very funny and entertaining film, which I feel like it is. I feel like it's really an enjoyable ride. That relationship in the film is what makes it meaningful or special.
Yeah, I think we have a jury that screens the films, and they laugh through the whole thing, but it was really that relationship and that redemption at the very end that really struck them and really earned the film the Truly Moving Picture Award.
That's great.
You mentioned Humpty Dumpty, and he's such an odd brother character for Puss in Boots. How did Humpty evolve and become such an integral part of the film?
You know, we wanted to create a character that could really play off of Puss, you know, and compliment him. So we had this egg, a different egg character, someone who would be, you know, always, you know, just by virtue of his shape and his species, I guess you could say, he's an outsider, you know, and he's sort of picked on and bullied, but he's brilliant. He has this brilliant mind. Just physically, he can't get anything done, but he has this great dreamer quality about him, which Puss in Boots finds very attractive, and Puss defends him, you know, when they're young, when Humpty's being picked on, and they quickly become best friends. And Humpty now realizes he has someone who actually cares about him, and someone who can physically do the things that he can't do. So they make a great team from the get-go, and they have big plans, you know, to one day get away from the orphanage, get away from this life of poverty, you know, make it big and live this grand life. And it doesn't work out for them when they're younger, and that's ultimately what tears them apart, because Humpty, and as they get older, he can feel that Puss is, you know, he's going down a little different path in life, and Humpty's desperate to keep him close, and and actually gets them in trouble with the law. But it was, you know, we loved that idea of this inventive, sort of Da Vinci-like character, this mastermind of the story, and the story of love between the two of them.
Yeah. Our audience is used to hearing from directors about their roles in the production of a film, but we normally talk to a lot of live-action directors. How would you say that your role as director of an animated film, especially with your experience in the area, how does that differ from a director of a live-action feature?
Well, say director in either form is required to oversee the entire production and the way the story is told, the visual side, the way it's got, the art direction. It's the same in animation, really. It's just that we have to create everything, every living inch on the frame, you know. At least in live action, you can go outside and you get the trees for
right.
free. You know? But we got to make the trees, got to make the leaves. So, you know, it's overseeing or collaborating with hundreds of artists and just really trying to keep everyone on the same page, you know, communicating the message of the film and trying to just take all that extraordinary talent, you know, and create one singular vision for it.
Wow. Sounds like a hefty responsibility.
It's big. It's crazy. It really is. It's an incredibly rewarding job. It's really, you know, it's a privilege. And that's one thing I can say about this film. I've never had a better time working on a movie. And it's great. When it is working, when people are in sync, it makes for a great experience. But it's pretty daunting, you know, at times. But hopefully it doesn't feel that way, you know, what's on the screen.
Yeah, and it must have been a long process, too, so I'm glad to hear it was so fun for you. How long did you work on this specifically?
Yeah, 3.5 years.
Wow.
So it really something you're going to be proud of, because it represents a nice chunk of your life.
Yeah.
You know? So.
And there are only so many of those you can make in a career just because of the time limitations.
Yeah.
So how closely did you work with your voice cast? I mean, there's some great names in the credits, Antonio Banderas voicing Puss and Selma Hayek, and you're in it quite a bit too, actually, it looks like.
Yeah, I mean,
sounds
a couple of voices here and there. I mean, there's, you know, you'll find other voices of crew members, because really, most of the time, just to speak to that for a second, is, we record everything. I don't know, we kind of have our DreamWorks players, if you will, you know, just people on the crew, and we'll write dialogue, and we'll try it out with each other. You know, we'll have the stand-in Puss and the stand-in Humpty and all the secondary characters. And sometimes those secondary characters, we record them, and they just end up sticking. You know, we just end up not getting, I guess, technically real talent to do it.
Yeah.
But that's how that. So you'll hear voices from myself, my producer, the people, the artists of the film. I mean, there's always these names on DreamWorks films, if you look at the credits, that are constantly turning up, and usually crew members. But, you know, you get used to hearing those, and sometimes you can't imagine bettering them. Hmm. As far as the crew, the real voice talent, Antonio and Salma and Billy Bob and Amy and Zach Galifianakis, they were great. They were great in helping to develop their characters. Even, you know, Antonio had a big part, and I mean, no one knows the character of Puss in Boots better than he. And I had a conversation with him early on, before we even started, just talking to him about what he would like to see the character do, or what he felt like needed to happen with the character. And it was very important for Antonio that we, as he put it, like punch a huge hole in his heart. You know, give him something at the beginning of the film that he's got to make up for, you know, redeem himself, make it a, you know, and really was a big fun of making it a redemption story, and this is this classic epic tale of, you know, someone with a broken heart who needed to, you know, do the right thing to fix it, and I always held on to that, and always really tried to make sure that was central to his character. You know, he's a funny character, he's got this big heart, but he's dramatic, you know. At his core, he takes himself so seriously, which I actually think is what really drives a lot of his comedy, is just how seriously he takes himself. But Antonio's, you know, instrumental in that, and Selma brought so much to the role, you know, and so much comedy to the role. So too. I mean, she was a genuinely funny actress, and constantly suggesting stuff or throwing stuff out, you know, working off of the page. And Zach Galifianakis, who is naturally funny, you know, with his timing. But I think what he brought to Humpty Dumpty that was more valuable than anything else was just this real vulnerable performance. And I just think it makes him so appealing. And you really one thing, he's not always making the best choices in the film. He's not always doing the right thing, but you want him to, you know. You want him to come around. I think it was a very moving performance at times, too, like at the right times. And Billy Bob Thornton was great, you know. He'd never done voiceover work before, and he had fun with that character, you know. It's like a real tough, sort of thuggish outlaw character he's playing in Jack, but he's got this real maternal side to him that he got to explore, and it was very funny. And Amy Sedaris is just brilliant. You know, give Amy a line, she'll come up with 80 different ones that are, and all of them better. But she's just so great at ad-libbing. You know, they were all a joy to work with, really.
That's great. And you talked about collaborating with the hundreds of artists and the probably thousands of people that worked on this. It's interesting to hear, too, how much you listened or, and could listen and learn from your voice talent as well. It's fascinating.
Yeah, no, definitely. And look, I mean, great, you know, we're all, everyone is in some fashion a storyteller, you know, in this process. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what we're doing. You know, we're making a film, we're telling a story. So everyone really along the line really contributes to that part of it. And that could be, that can come from anywhere at any time. You just have to be open to it. So yeah, I mean, that's like input from everywhere.
So similar ideas. How did you arrive at the visual aesthetic that you used for the film through all of those collaborations? You know, last year there was another DreamWorks film, How to Train Your Dragon, which also won the Truly Moving Picture Award, and it seemed to take computer animation to just new levels of beauty.
It's a great film. Yeah, it's a beautiful looking movie.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of that same aesthetic in Puss in Boots. And how did you guys get around to accomplishing this? Especially, I'm thinking of some of the landscape shots that are just so gorgeous.
Yeah, well, I mean, one thing that certainly helped, I mean, this doesn't speak to production design necessarily, but it does, is we shared the same cinematographer, Bill Zimmerman, who shot How to Train Your Dragon. He was the cinematographer on this film, and he's brilliant. You know, got a great eye, has a great storyteller, and was fortunate enough to work with Roger Deakins on How to Train Your Dragon, and I think Roger brought so much to his experience, and I think really translated the way that film looked. And Gil, you know, Gil was a sponge. He soaked up all that knowledge.
Wow.
And also the 3D knowledge. I think the 3D in Puss in Boots is, I think it's exceptional. You know, I'm really proud of the way that turned out. I mean, Gil just brought so much experience, and I think really upped the ante in Puss in Boots. And, you know, that was huge. And, you know, and we wanted, Guillaume Arritos is our production designer, and Guillaume is quite brilliant. We, you know, we had an opportunity to create a real epic-looking film with the opportunity in this picture to go to another world. I mean, you travel to the land of the giants. It's so high in the sky. Mm-hmm. The sun is actually below the clouds. You're that far out. So it was an opportunity to also create a very surreal landscape and very fantastic. And Guillaume's strengths, those are his strengths. And he's got a brilliant sense of color and design. So the film is big, you know, and it has it's perfect for the character of Puss in Boots, because he's, you know, he has this larger-than-life perspective on himself and the world around him. So it's great, great for scale, and, you know, we could really have fun with all of that.
So you've worked on in a lot of different departments on a lot of different films. What draws you specifically to animation, both as an art form and as a storytelling medium?
I think I was always attracted to animation and story and filmmaking. But you know, even as a little kid, I would always do the flipbooks, you know, like all the time. I mean, I decorated all my parents' books. I mean, every book in their home. If you go into the corner, you know, whatever book, whatever, you know, really, I pretty much destroyed their library of books. It's always the same thing. It's just a guy walking along, and then he explodes. Or
something like that. Of course.
They weren't really sophisticated, but I loved animating, and always loved to draw. So that was a natural sort of fit for me. So I went to CalArts and learned traditional style animation, which I realized I was not good at. But I loved animation. I loved writing, and started storyboarding. Started getting the storyboarding part of it, which really, that did it for me. You know, that was a chance to, you know, visually you sort of get the first crack at a script. Mm. And the way we worked on the Shrek films, there was so much freedom for us to write and explore and come up with ideas that was really liberating and a great training ground for becoming a director. Because you get to do a little bit of everything. You're composing shots, you're writing dialogue, you're creating content for the film and a little bit of cinematography, and it was really, really a great teaching tool for me.
Great. Well, let's get to our one last question for you, the one that we ask every filmmaker that we interview, and then we'll let you go here. So what are your most truly moving films, maybe the ones that you've either made or the ones that you've seen that have inspired, engaged, or educated you in new ways and really gotten to you?
Wow. Okay. This answer changes all the time, by the way. But where it stands right now, the films that I think have stuck with me the most, and I always tend to look back at movies. My favorite time period for films was the 70s. Those are always my favorite films. Mm-hmm. Two in particular that just stick out for me were Right Now, or Hal Ashby movies. And one in particular, I always loved Being There. I always just thought that was just a wonderful mm-hmm. movie of Peter Sellers.
Yeah.
And beautiful looking film. And, you know, I just always loved that character, Chauncey Gardner, and, you know, just innocent mm-hmm. guy who everyone just sort of projected brilliance on. And he was actually quite brilliant in a simple life that he led. And the other Hal Ashby film that I just think is, I mean, it's dark, but it was just a beautiful love story with Harold and Maude. You know, and I always go back to that film because I just love the central relationship in that movie. Those are always my favorite pictures. I always end up going back to 70s films because I just felt like
it's a great decade.
Renegade Hollywood.
Exactly.
And it's a lot of, sort of anti-establishment, great mm-hmm. character films, you know.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, thanks so much, Chris. We've really appreciated it. Thanks for taking time out of your busy day. And congratulations again on winning the Truly Moving Picture Award.
Thank you. It's an honor. It's a great festival. You know, like any chance for independent filmmakers to you know, show what they've done. And I think your festival does that really well.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Chris. Take care.
Okay. Bye now.
That was Chris Miller, director of the Truly Moving Picture Award winner, Puss in Boots. Puss in Boots will be released nationwide on October 28th. You can find out more information at trulymovingpictures.org. We would like to give special thanks to Chris, Paramount Pictures, and DreamWorks Animation for making today's interview possible, and for giving the world such a beautiful adaptation of a literary classic.